we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you at this time. We bless your name because you've got us together from all these various places to study your word. We are praying, O Lord, that this very day you impart the grace, the love, the mercy, the power in the word to every heart in Jesus' name. And we're asking, O Lord, that your word will do good in our lives. That will not be hearers of the word only, will be doers of the word. And in the doing, in obedience to the word, the blessing that comes, the reward that comes, as a result of obeying your word, you're growing unto us in Jesus' name. All those who are gathered everywhere today, studying the Bible with us, I pray, O Lord, you bless them tremendously in the word as well, in Jesus' name. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we pray. We can be seated now. I'm reading the text to you from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26. Acts, chapter 26, reading from verse 16. But rise and stand upon thy feet. Why have I appeared unto thee for this purpose? To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appeal to thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and of Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet, fit, suitable, appropriate for repentance. As we look at the defense of Paul the Apostle before King Agrippa, he related his encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and the effect that encounter had upon him. A change of life, a change of purpose, a change of direction, a change of engagement, a change of what you wanted to do in life. When you have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be a change in your life. A change of heart, a change of life, a change of direction, a change of mind, a change of purpose, and a change of what you determined to do in your life. Then he went further to explain that he had received a commission from the Lord to preach repentance, number one, to the Jews, number two, to the Gentiles as well. He was to preach in Damascus, and he did, and Jerusalem, and he did, and to the coast of Judea, and he did, and then he preached also to the Gentile world. The brief account gives us an insight into the secret of his effectiveness and success in ministry, which was obedience to the heavenly vision. When you study the Apostle Paul, study him to start with before the cross, then study him when he got to the cross, and study him after the cross. You've learned before what Paul the Apostle went or saw, what he did, going about and just arresting those people, believers, making the people blaspheme, and then they will cast them into the prison. And he did that with all his heart. Anything he did with passion. He did with his heart. He did with determination. And he did with fire burning within him. When he did evil, he was all in it. When he did bad things, he was all in those things. And when he did that, when he came to the Lord, and then he became born again, a new fire came into him, grace came into him, power came into him. You'll find everything he also did, he did with all his strength. There was no half and half with Paul. There was not a maybe, an undecided attitude with Paul the Apostle. Look at this verse 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. And I want you to circle or underline the word I. You'll find Paul the Apostle using that word I. After the cross, when he mentioned the Lord, I want you to look at Acts of the Apostles chapter 21 and look at the word I. Acts chapter 21 verse 13. Then Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready, not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." You see that word I? It was all he did. He never did anything without his heart, his mind, his life, everything within what he did. And then in Acts of the Apostles chapter 20 verse 24, Acts 20 verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." I, that was it. And if you're going to do anything for the Lord, you, yourself, your very heart, your very soul must be in that thing. There must be that I that stands out clear, different, distinguished, and unique. You look at another scripture, Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 14. Romans chapter 1, reading from verse 14. "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise, so that as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." You see the I there. He never went anywhere without carrying his I with him. He never went anywhere without carrying his very soul, his very heart, everything that he had within him. What made him teach? What made him really was on fire? What made him to be on fire? He never did anything without carrying that inner urge, inner power, inner strength within. I am ready. He tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm reading verse 16. "But though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, when necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." And then in verse 22, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." You'll see that I standing out very clear. He never said, "Other people made me do this. Other people hindered me from doing this. I could have done a lot. I could have gone very far. I could have climbed every mountain. I would have ascended the ladder of progress in evangelism and soul winning. I could have done this. I could have done this." They did not allow me. Their I was too strong, that nobody could beat him back, and nobody could send him back, and nobody could discourage him. There was an I that stood upright, and that I that stood upright made him to do what he ought to do without thinking, I really want to do something for the Lord in this new year, in this ministry. I would have done something, but you know, they are stronger than me. But no, the I was very strong. And then as you look at another scripture, this is not 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 9 verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, chapter 15, verse 9. "For I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not fit suitable to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am." You see that? He never left that behind. Yes, I understand. You know what people think about? I is the center of sin. Yes, I am true. I is the center of pride. Yes, I know. That is when you write pride, the middle letter is I. Crime, I is the middle letter of crime. And he did it all. But he's telling you something. He said, yes, I know that. That when I was in sin, I was at the very center. And when I was in pride, I was at the... And then when I was in crime, I was at the very center. But now that I'm in Christ, now that I come to know, I have a church to do, and I have a place to go, and I have a ministry to carry out, I brought myself in. And you wouldn't be able to pay him, cower him, conquer him, beat him back, send him back. He did everything he had to do, and he brought all his heart, all his mind, all his soul into what he did. And look at the word of God in that verse 10 again. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly, more than they all. Yet not I, not the old I, it's a new I that did it now. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, we're looking at verse 4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glory of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. You see that even when he was in tribulation, and when he was in persecution, he told himself, my soul, my spirit, my heart, standing there. And don't let anybody cower you down, power you down, conquer your spirit. He was still all there by himself. That's what the Lord is telling us. That now you gather up yourself, you collect yourself together, you put yourself together, and you say, I'm going with my whole soul, my whole body, my whole spirit, and I'm going to do something. If I fail, I'm not going to be shifting the blame on other people. I would have sincerely, they made me fail. Nobody makes you fail. If you fail, it's the I, it's you, it's your person that did it. And then he tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, now he's coming to the end of the ministry. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, reading from verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 4, reading from verse 6. Here he tells us, for I am now ready. But what did I read to you in Acts chapter 20, verse 24? I am ready. What did I read to you in Romans chapter 1? I am ready. What did I read to you in Acts of the Apostles chapter 21, verse 13? I am ready. Now he comes to the end. And to the end of the ministry, the readiness was still there. And now he says in that verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. Now, as I study the life of Paul the Apostle, I also study the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle comes next. If you look at the New Testament, and if you look at the impact that he had on the ancient world and on the world of today, if you look at the impact that Paul the Apostle with his writings and with his ministry, the impact that he has on the church, the large church, all the church today, Paul the Apostle is very important for you to study. I see seven words that come out of the life of Paul the Apostle. Number one, gratitude. Gratitude. You know, I was so grateful. I persecuted the church. I ran the church down. I wanted to destroy the church. But the grace of God came unto me. And how happy I am. How grateful I am. That the mercy of the Lord found me out. I want you to write that word, gratitude. I'm coming back to it. Number two, I see faith. Faith. I've committed everything unto the Lord. And I know that he's able to keep that which I've committed into his hand. Write the word faith. That's number two. Number three, you'll see godliness. God is witness. And you are witnesses too. How holily, justly, unblameably we have behaved ourselves among you that believe. He had godliness. Number four, obedience. Obedience. When the call came unto him, he said, I conferred not, I compromised not for flesh and blood. Obedience, that's number four. Number five, I'm ready to you over and over. Readiness. readiness. Number six, hardiness. 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 Number seven, happiness. Happiness. We have joy. Joy. In all our tribulation, in all the persecution, in everything that we want to, happiness. That's why Paul and Silas at midnight, they were singing praises to the Lord, and then the prison doors opened. There's a great earthquake. Look at those words one by one. Gratitude. Look at that word. What's the middle letter there? You count the letters of that word, and then you find the middle letter there. What's the middle letter there? Faith. What's the middle letter there? And then you have godliness. What's the middle letter? Obedience. The middle letter. Readiness. The middle letter there. And then hardiness. The middle letter. Happiness. Teaches you something. Nobody can make you happy or sad. You are responsible. Hardiness means courage, boldness, strength of character, an uncompromising life. It means ability to endure anything in the ministry the Lord has called you to. And nobody can make you a coward. Nobody can make you courageous. It's you. It's I. Hardiness is I. Gratitude. Nobody can make you ungrateful. You look at the mercy that the Lord has shown unto you, and nobody makes you ungrateful. It's because of what they did to me. It's because of what they said about me. That's why I became ungrateful. Nobody makes you ungrateful. The middle letter of gratitude is I. And in the life of Paul the Apostle, he said, I carry myself with me everywhere I go. And it's that I. And I stand firm and I stand erect as the unbendable I. And I stand there and I know a success in ministry. And then the obedience to the word of God, and to go with passion, and to go with fire, and to go with energy, and to go with enthusiasm. There is an I that stands in there. And once I get myself together, and I pull myself together, and I'm willing to go the places the Lord wants me to go, there is nobody that can decrease my passion, my enthusiasm, my energy, my plan, my purpose for the way of the Lord, for the work of the Lord. And say, now I understand. If I am going to serve the Lord acceptably, there is an eye that must stand in the middle. A cleansed eye that has experienced the grace of God and that is willing to do and be everything that He wants me to be and to do. I pray God will help us in Jesus' name. A good, good amen. Now we're going to divide the study to three parts. Number one, compassion and consecration after the heavenly visitation. When you have a visitation from the Lord, like Paul the Apostle had, there's going to be compassion. And there's going to be consecration after that heavenly visitation. Number two, commission from Christ through the heavenly vision. Commission from Christ through the heavenly vision. Number three, Christ-like commitment to the heavenly vision. Christ-like commitment to the heavenly vision. Let's come back to number one. Conversion and consecration after the heavenly visitation. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26. I'm reading from verse 9 all through to verse 15. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26, verse 9. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I cast, did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all falling to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's not for thee to kick against the priests. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And that's the encounter that he had with the Lord. He narrated that story. It was an unforgettable encounter, an unforgettable experience. He met the Lord. And when you meet the Lord like that, it might be in another way. When you really see the glory of the Lord, and you hear the voice of the Lord, and you hear his message to you, it may be jumping out of that Bible, out of the word, and you know that this message is for me. It may be that, you know, he speaks to you in another way. But when you hear the word of the Lord like that, and you have a visitation from heaven, you'll never be the same again. The man was changed. The man was converted. His life was turned around. In fact, the people that knew him before, they became surprised because they saw that what he was doing now was very, very different from what he did before he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And they knew something must have happened to the man. They may not be with you on the way to Damascus. They may not have seen the light that you saw. They might not have had the message that you had. They might not have felt the warmth and the fire and the glow that you felt. But when they see a change in your life, they will know that you met the Lord, and they will know that something happened to you. We might not be able to get under your skin to be able to know that this is the experience you have. But when we see the change in your life, and we see the change in, and it changed your direction, and it changed your language, we will know something somewhere happened to you. We may not be able to tell the details until you tell us, but the change will make us know something has happened unto you. And what was his testimony after that? In 1 Timothy chapter 1, reading from verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 12. Reading all through to verse 16, it says, and I sang Christ Jesus our Lord. The entire gratitude became the center of his life. I sang the Lord. I sang the Lord. I sang the Lord. When he remembered what he was, when he remembered where he should have been, when he remembered what he merited, the judgment of God, and then he saw that mercy came. He saw that grace came. He saw that the love of God came. And he saw that the things he merited, he should have perished. He wasn't perishing now, but life came unto him. He was grateful. And when you think about what the Lord has done for you, how he forgave your sin, how he turned your life around, how now all the paths of judgment and the path of destruction, of perdition that were going before, everything has changed now. And here you come. Now you're on the way to life. Then you say, me of all people, how could this ever happen to me? I merited judgment. I merited destruction. I merited perdition. I merited destruction in the lake of fire. But look at it now. He is my Father, and Jesus is my Savior, and the Holy Spirit is my Comforter. How come this could happen to me? When you think about it, what the Lord has done, and you count those spiritual blessings one by one that you have got, you will be grateful. There will be gratitude in your heart. That's why I said, I thank the Lord Jesus Christ, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who was before? He always remembered, this is what I was, but look at what I am now. And it's the difference between night and day. It's the difference between heaven and hell. It's the difference between judgment and then release from judgment. It's the difference between perdition and paradise. He said, look at this that has happened unto me. He said, who was before? A blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious person. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saint and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And think about it, of whom I am chief. How be it, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. For the language of gratitude and love, appreciation, that is, he wasn't the only one that saw that great change that came to him. Other people saw it too. Galatians chapter 1 verse 21. Galatians 1, reading from verse 21. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only. They had heard only. They will hear. If a change comes to your life, they will hear. If you change direction and change purpose, they will hear. If you begin to love what you used to hate, they will hear. If you begin to go about and you're talking about the love of God, and you're talking about this Jesus whom you hated before, everybody will be all ears, they will hear. It says, only they had heard that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which he was persecuted. And they glorified God in me. They glorified God in me. What qualifies us for the commission? It's not just church attendance, not just church activities, but genuine salvation. A definite experience of salvation is necessary before we can effectively and convincingly witness for Christ. As the blind cannot lead the blind, otherwise they both fall into the ditch, so also the unsaved cannot lead others into the salvation experience. True conversion is the product of genuine repentance from our sins. You realize the sins you have committed, and then you call upon the name of the Lord. You feel sorry for the sin. It's not just that the evangelist told you, can you raise up your hand? You want to have Jesus as your personal savior, that's all right. But you feel the impact and the weight and the sorrow and the condemnation of your sin. And you know that if you are not saved, if forgiveness does not come, you will sink into hellfire. You'll be there forever and ever. And that burden, that guilt, that condemnation will be so great upon you. You'll say, Lord, I need your mercy. I need your forgiveness. I need your salvation. I need the mercy that you showed when Jesus died for me on the cross of Calvary. And then you believe the Lord. You believe that Jesus Christ died for you in particular. Receiving that, the joy comes. And then the peace of God. And the justification. And the condemnation that was there before. Everything now vanishes away. And you know you become a new creature in Christ. And then your life will reflect it. Your life will show it. If the Son of Righteousness lives and abides in you, your life must reflect it. If the Son of God, which he who is the very representation of the love of God, if he abides in you, your very life will show it and reveal it. And then the people that see you, the people that know you, the people that see the grace that has come to your life, they will glorify God on your behalf. Let's see what happened to another man that had heavenly visitation like that. I'm looking at Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, we're reading from verse 1. Moses also had an heavenly visitation, and it changed his concept. It changed his life. Even though he was now 80 years of age, yet he knew that this heavenly visitation is for a purpose. However old you are, when the Lord visits you and the Lord shows himself to you, you will know that this is for a purpose, and you will live for that purpose. Exodus chapter 3, I'm reading from verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. An angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burnt with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, while the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Have you noticed something about these patriarchs of old, these prophets of old, these people of old? Have you noticed something about them? The moment God called them, he never delayed. Here am I, Lord. Abraham, Abraham, here am I, Lord. Moses, Moses, here am I, Lord. Samuel, Samuel, here am I, Lord. When he called those people, he always responded, and he responded promptly. At that very moment, God wants to talk to me now. I'm listening. I'm going to do it. I won't say, Lord, I don't have time now. I still have some projects I want to carry out. Please don't talk to me now. Please don't tell me to do another thing. I have my agenda. I made my agenda and my resolutions already. These people never said that. Whenever the voice of the Lord came, it canceled everything they were thinking about. Here I am, Lord. Think about an 80-year-old man just hearing his name, being called by the Lord. And he will not say, no time is gone. You should have spoken to me earlier. Here I am. And that's what we ought to do, and that's what we are going to do. Well, we'll not be like the people that hear and hear and hear, and we never respond, and we never do what he has told us to do. We're going to do what he's calling us to do in Jesus' name. Then he tells us in the next verse, verse 5, and he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. And I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a land, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. You see what the Lord is telling us to do, and you see what the Lord was telling Moses. He said, I have an assignment for you. You park aside all your projects now, all your plans now, because there's something that the Heavenly Father wants you to do. Exodus chapter 7, I'm reading from verse 1. Exodus chapter 7 from verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I've made thee God unto Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee. What an assignment. He didn't know everything the Lord will command him at that time, but whatever it is, the Lord will communicate what you have. You have a job, you have a commission. And now that you have turned unto the Lord, and you have got this heavenly visitation, here is something to do. You will say, you will speak all that I command thee. And Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so they did. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so they did. What a wonderful testimony that will be if the Lord can say about you this year, that you in particular, and then he puts your name before those angels of God in heaven, and he says, and so did as the Lord commanded him, so he did. And such, that lady, that sister did, as the Lord commanded her, so she did. I pray that will be recorded of you. And then we read in verse 7, and Moses was 84 years old, 80 years old, and he just began the ministry. What the Lord wanted him to do. And he didn't say, choose a younger person, Lord. As a person gets older, he needs easy task, easier task, more comfortable task. Oh Lord, you know the nature of man, and you know the strength of man. And you know, the nearer we get to the grave, all these cells in the body, they are dying out, and our bones are getting weaker, and our hearts, we have gone through a lot of things in life, and the things we've gone through in life, when you are getting old, it mellows you down, and you cannot do a work that requires too much courage and too much strength. Oh Lord, you know how old I am, you know what I've gone through. Give the job to another person. He was 4 years old, 80 years of age, and the Lord gave him the greatest assignment he ever gave anybody. So you will not say, because I'm getting older, because I'm getting weaker, because I don't have the strength I used to have. Why didn't you tell me when I was much younger and I had this strength and this energy of the youth with me? It's too late, God. God is never late. I said, God is never late. And whatsoever he says unto you, do it. You will do it. And Moses was 4 years old, and Aaron 4 and 3 years old when he spake unto Pharaoh. Why did Moses walk like that? How could Moses walk like that? Come and see the secret in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, I'm reading from verse 24. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction for the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Notice verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. As seeing him who is invisible. The experience he had at the burning bush never left him. The voice he heard at the burning bush never left him. That was in Exodus chapter 3. When he got to Exodus chapter 4, he could still hear that voice ringing in his ears. And he could still see that bush burning there. And he could see the appearance of the Lord. Holy ground. Holy voice speaking to him. He got to Exodus chapter 7. He could still hear that voice reverberating in his ears. And then he confronted Pharaoh chapter 8 and chapter 9 and chapter 10. It's like he was seeing the invisible. When you have the heavenly vision, the heavenly visitation, and then you hear the voice of the Lord, the things you saw, it will be as if you are beholding at that very time the invisible. That's why you endured. That's how we endure. If you're going to endure your life, anything you're doing for the Lord, any challenge you are facing, you must always see the invisible one. I come to point number 2, commission from Christ through the heavenly vision. Commission from Christ through the heavenly vision. Acts of the Apostles chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. I'm reading from verse 16. But rise and stand upon thy feet. Rise and stand upon thy feet. I'm sure you know that when you get into the ministry, there are people that will challenge you. Who told you to do this? By what authority?